Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
I want to start off reading to you. How's that today? In those days, Caesar Augustus had issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem to the town of David because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the babe to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She placed him, wrapped him in cloths, and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Chris stepped in and introduced us to lessons from the manger. He talked to us about lessons from the Magi. He took off some of our Christmas-colored glasses and introduced us to some reality checks. Today, we want to continue that lessons from the manger with lessons from the shepherds. And with that, So first, I want to pause for a minute and greet those who are visiting with us. We're glad you're here. You could have been anywhere. We feel like we need to give you a little heads up that we keep it real here at Bridge Church. We try hard to really experience the word, how God delivered the word. And in that, it doesn't always look traditional, but we try to keep it authentic. Amen, church?
Amen.
So today I want to invite you to take an authentic look at the story of the Nativity from the perspective of the shepherd. Because verse 8 in Luke 2 continues, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Now we all know what comes next. Does everybody just, let me do that again. Let me do that in my church voice. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night." And we all get the warm fuzzies. We know what comes next. Linus marches up to the stage in Charlie Brown and he quotes the scriptures. We break out our nativities. Suddenly our nativities come to life with our 21st century concept of the rendition of our Christmas story. "Joy to the world, and hark, the herald angels sing, nativities, candles." Does anybody else thread the little white lights through their nativity set so it glows like I do, or am I the only nerd in the room? Okay, just checking. Hope, and then peace, and now joy. All the little kids' plays, kid tinsel halos and wings, baby doll Jesus. It's all so lovely. The problem is that our narrative doesn't match their experience. Because if we're to grasp the significance of joy on this day, we need to understand the true perspective of the shepherds. I want you to forget your 21st century Christmas narrative. If you were a shepherd in the first century, it is not the King David of the Old Testament that was revered. Shepherds weren't well respected in the first century. Shepherds were outcasts of society. They were somewhere between the guys who just got out of parole and day laborers. That's the kind of the line that they straddled. They weren't welcomed by society. They slept in the pens with the sheep. They were dirty and unclean, so they weren't welcome at the temple. They lived outside of town. And then we have to think about them as they perceive this God. The one who likened himself to a shepherd in the psalm. You know, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I lack no thing," right? The God who had been silent for 400 years. I want to bring that into perspective. Our nation isn't quite 250 years old. And we are already well arguing over what our forefathers actually wrote or actually meant or what it means for our nation. And God, who established the nation of Israel, had not whispered for 400 years. How is that leading beside still waters? Remember, you're a shepherd. Not only are you frowned upon by your own people, but there is the occupying force of the Roman government, and they can't stand you either. Where is God in that? As we stand out as shepherds watching the flocks by dark, dark night, in the mundane routine of warding off wolves and feeding sheep and herding them, what's worse? They drew the graveyard shift. Anybody ever worked the graveyard shift? Anybody ever worked the all-night shift in the military? I sure did. Boy, it is no fun. They drew the graveyard shift so that all night long in the cold, they could try to stay awake while they guarded stinky, less than intelligent sheep. Not only from thieves and bad shepherds, but from wolves and all the rest. And can I ask, are we still feeling all fuzzy and warm with our Linus blanket on the stage? Or are you honestly cold and tired, frustrated and hopeless as you look out over the hills? And by the way, as we look out over the hills on that first century night, we see a lot of hustle and bustle in a normally sleepy town, all because some foreign governor from an occupying force has decided that everybody needs to be counted, not for our benefit, but so that they can collect more money so the politicians can live large. Anything sounding familiar? And then, are you all there? And then, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord." Amen, church. But let's go back to the moment. Let's keep it real. Because you're out on a dark hill in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, this beast of a man, creature, something, this beast drops out of the sky like a scene from a Marvel movie. Except there are no movies yet. Special effects haven't been born. I mean, we look back and think the initial Star Wars was lame. There were no movie screens, y'all. And this thing falls out of the sky with everything happening all around him. And it says the glory of the Lord. Can I nerd out and define that for you? The glory of the Lord is the pure manifest presentation of God's infinite and majestic nature. I'm going to say that again. This thing drops out of the sky, and the manifest in-person presentation of God's infinite, majestic nature surrounds it. And I don't know about you, but if I'm that shepherd, I'm feeling like the wind has been sucked out of my lungs, and I'm pretty sure I'm about to die. And right in that moment, the angel, is that what we've decided it is, an angel? The angel says, "Don't be scared." Okay. Right? But he says, wait, because you're replaying, because all this has happened in an instant. And your brain, anybody ever had something happen and you start to rewind trying to figure out what actually got said because you were in such shock when it got said, right? And so you start to rewind. Wait, did he say he was bringing good news? Good news of great joy for all the people, starting with me, the shepherd. Is that what he just said? And your ears are ringing and your head is spinning. But did the angel just say Savior? Did the angel just say Deliverer? Did the angel just say the one who had rescued you was born right there in that hustling, bustling little town in Bethlehem? Did he say Christ, the anointed one, the one the prophets had foretold, the one that was going to save everyone and make everything better? Did he say Lord? Did he say Yahweh, the name that wasn't allowed to even be written by the Jews? That angel spoke the name Yahweh had come to earth in that moment. And he is right over there. Let me invite you back into the 21st century for a minute. Because we have changed. Shepherds have changed. I think it was Mary was telling me this week that shepherds are now utilizing drones to help herd and count and watch their flocks, right? Shepherds have changed. The backdrop of Christmas has definitely changed. There were no blow-up inflatables in the first, anyway. But God. God was the same yesterday, that day, today, and forever. And there are some things that we need to hear from the shepherds, to take from their lessons. Because, church, hear me. God will bring good news of great joy into the midst of your mundane. You might not be feeding sheep, but we all walk through the day to day, and sometimes it weighs us down. And let me tell you, God will bring good news of great joy into your mundane. God will not only do that, God will bring good news of great joy into your darkest night. Up on a hillside, all alone, in the graveyard shift. God will bring good news of great joy into your darkest night. And God, let's go back. What did it say the shepherds were when they encountered the angel? Did it say terrified? Yeah. God will bring good news of great joy right into the heart of your terrified. Church, we're not pretending. I can tell you from a phone call at 1:29 in the morning, the Friday after Thanksgiving, when the hospital calls to say your mom is gone, God will bring good news of great joy into that moment. Anybody need some good news of great joy? Yeah, I see a couple of hands. Good news of great joy. I know it's heavy for some of us. Some of y'all are having a great December, a great November, and you're like, what's all the heavy about going on? But whatever your circumstance, God will bring you good news of great joy. And he doesn't just bring you good news of great joy, but in this passage, he teaches us how to take hold of the reality of it. Because joy on the screen and joy on the ornament, and I've got little red boxes that light up with greenery on top, and they spell out J-O-Y, joy. That's cool. But that doesn't bring the reality of joy any more than the flame on that candle. But see, God's word does. I want you to read with me verses 12 to 14 of Luke chapter 2. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It says, this will be a sign to you. You will find, in other words, here it is, go and seek. The angel gives an unmistakable sign, like better than the treasure chest at X marks the spot. The angel says, you're going to find a baby. The baby's going to be in a stable. That's not normal. He's going to be in cloths. All the nans that would normally be there aren't around him. It's just going to be these two. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to go and find. And then it says, a great company of heavenly hosts. And this is where we risk once again seeing our images, our 21st century images of choir robes and smiles. That's different for every one of us. Some of us, by the way, automatically picture little children in their silver halos singing. Others picture, you know, a big, beautiful choir full of handsome men and beautiful women singing all the perfect pitches and all the things. But this says, a great company of the heavenly hosts. So let me break this down for you. First of all, a company is a military term. It stands for an amount of soldiers, right? And And this company of heavenly hosts is not a choir in pretty little robes. Can we go back to one angel terrifies people every single time, right? This is a company of angels. And the heavenly hosts are the angel armies that God sends out to do his will. This is the army that God sends out to do battle, to defeat demons, to save your life, to stand in the gap for you, to stand in the gap for me, to fist to cuffs with the darkest of dark in the heavenly realms. That's who the angel armies are. That's who the heavenly hosts are. And they serve at God's pleasure. And in this moment, I don't want you to picture a heavenly little tinsel halo choir robe white. I want you to picture SEAL Team Delta Force and Marine Force Recon, because that is who just dropped out of the sky. And they didn't drop out of the sky to war. They dropped out of the sky to praise God and proclaim peace to all the earth. Peace in your life and my life. Peace over foreign occupation. Peace over the trouble, peace over the silence, peace over the fear, peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest heavens. That great company of elite angel warriors is who shows up. Repeat the sounding joy. Amen, church. Repeat the sounding joy. I don't want us to miss the moment that in this time and space, heaven opened and God's warriors descended to speak and sing the purest praise that Jesus, God incarnate, had come to save mankind. I don't know about y'all, but no matter how many twinkle lights I put up, that beats my narrative. Now, I don't know how long this lasted, right? We know it started. We don't know how long it lasted, but as quickly as it started, it was over. Read with me. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Let's go. They went to see, because if they didn't go and see, this word from the angels wouldn't have been any better than one of the many headlines in our 24/7, 365 news cycle that blows by that we don't take any action on. If they don't go, then they have missed the reality of the one who came to save us all. If they don't go to see, then who tells? If they don't go to see, then the hope in their lives and the joy goes unrealized. And I have to ask the question, church, how many of us sit back on the sidelines, dipping our toe into the waters of faith and pulling back, dipping our toe back in over here, but then pulling back, and we never have joy realized in our lives, because we're still standing on the hillside looking at the joy over there instead of entering in. The passage continues. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Folks, the shepherds went to see. They found what they were told, and then they didn't keep it to themselves. They shared it. Because when they experienced the Savior, when they experienced the joy of the promised one, they told people, and people weren't disgusted. People didn't turn them away. People weren't afraid of them. It says people were amazed. And I got to tell you, the world is never put off when we, in the joy of the Lord, share what God has done in our lives. The world is put off by a bunch of mopey, gropey, mean, legalistic people who say the name of Jesus but stay on the hillside over here and never live in the reality of God's joy. And church, I am so grateful that we are a people of joy. I am so grateful that we can stand at the town Christmas tree lighting and have the mayor say, Bridge Church has all this stuff. You guys make sure to go enjoy it. That we can have a fire, an EMT or a paramedic stand and go, I love y'all's church. You just keep showing up. We're not showing up sour and bitter. We're showing up with joy. And that is attractive to the world. That is not put off. That's the Jesus we're supposed to wear. That's the Jesus that draws people in. So just to recap some other lessons from the shepherds, they chose to act on the good news. The shepherds went to receive. They experienced Christ. You can't just watch baby Jesus from over here. You need to step up and experience him front and center. Amen, church. They shared the good news. And they didn't just leave it there. Because if it's about them, they share the good news, everybody's amazed, all the focus is on the storytellers, that's awesome. But they told everybody, and then they went back to worship Jesus some more. See, right there, the shepherds teach us that we got to keep going back to the source. We can't get a one-time, one-and-done, and keep walking through our lives and experience the reality of his joy day in and day out. We got to keep going back to the manger, back to the cross, back to the tomb, and experience Jesus for who he is. The message of great joy that the angels delivered 2,000 years ago was not just for shepherds in the field. It wasn't just for Mary and Joseph, and by the way, we'll talk about them and learn lessons from them next week. The message is for us today, and it's not just for us, it's for others. The cool thing is that it's not even the angel or the host of heavenly angels that comes to deliver the message to us. It's Jesus himself. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a living word that we get to hold in our hands and have it take life off the page and root in our hearts. And the Spirit to guide us. God himself brings good news of great joy into our mundane and into our terrified and into our dark nights. And yes, into our celebrations and our festivals and our feasts. And I'm not going to lie and say it's easy. Church, we do people a disservice. And I've not heard a single person in our congregation do this because we have walked through in the last month. Thank goodness there's been some celebrations, some babies born, and a wedding that we attended. Like, there's been some things because there's also been death and loss. There's been suicide and sickness. There's been all those things. And we don't do people justice when we are like, just choose joy. You lost your job. Just choose joy. Your spouse just left you for someone 20 years younger. Just choose joy. Your mom died, you have cancer, you lost your child, your grandpa died. Those are real things. Don't just choose joy. Lean on the one who is joy. Let that one hold you up. Now I'm gonna stand up here and be transparent. It's been a difficult season. Okay, like we have some amazing things going on in the church. God is just doing some stuff in the community with the new property, with everything going on. That is fantastic. But personally, the staff, you guys, me, there's been a lot. And in that, if I don't choose joy, if I don't lean on the one who is joy, if I don't continually come back to the source, then I'm bitter. And in bitter, can I tell you, if I'm just being honest, because I never am, right? If I'm just being honest, if I don't focus and make intentional decisions to keep at the source, then when my mother dies, who I have been estranged from my whole life, but have done my best to be faithful and show up, and she doesn't have a will, and everything's overwhelming, and there's a million things to do, if I focus on the bitter and the angry, then if I focus on what's not, then I miss the opportunity for God to step in and do the miraculous. I miss the God stops that are an opportunity to tell the world about Jesus. And that's not easy. I wasn't sure I was going to share this, and I have a minute, so I'm going to share it. So some of you have heard this, and if you have, bear with me, but it's just an awesome testimony to not share, okay? When I went down, you know, there was nothing, there's no access, there's no will, so Rick and I are putting out expenses for funerals and all the things, and that's okay, but my one prayer to God was like, God, can you just help us break even? Like, she owns this little trailer, it's not worth a lot, but if we could break even, that's my only prayer. Like, but then there's still a whole mobile home to clean out and all her stuff and do all this stuff, and I'm the only one, and so in that, bitterness tries to set in a little bit, and I'm pushing it away, and I'm leaning into the, by the way, if you guys aren't doing the Advent devotional, it's amazing. Pick one up. Spend some time in it. It's really good. And in that, one of the devotions really spoke to me about choosing joy and choosing not to rest in bitterness, and there's a neighbor that has looked in on my mom for many years. Just been there, and they have three children, 20 to 15, I think the daughter is, in a single-wide mobile home. Great people, working class, doing all they can. And their oldest son is 20, Mark Jr. And Mark Jr. has Asperger's. But he has done all he can do. He's got a 4.0 from high school, so he got a free ride to community college. He's graduating this week with a 4.0 from community college. He got his license. He's been working at McDonald's for a bunch of years, even though he's just turned 20. So that means, by the way, he's graduating a semester early with a major challenge in his life. Anyway, and he comes in, but he wants his independence. And obviously, there's a lot, right? There's a lot that he can only have so much independence. And Mark Jr. comes over with his mom and his dad. And he offers me an amount that is less than the trailer is worth, but exactly what we need to cover our expenses. And in the midst of a dark time, we get to bless that young man who is doing everything he can do despite all the odds. And that's not us, that's God. That's God. But if I'm bitter, if I'm angry, and I'm like, no, I don't have time for that. And then because we walked in that, then for the next 5 days as we cleaned out the trailer, I didn't have to be frustrated with the stuff. I got to do this for Mark Jr. I could take away the, well, no, let me, I could send Pastor Rick away to the dump and the and the Union Mission with 6 different truckloads of stuff, and we could leave just enough for Mark Jr. to have a lovely little furnished place, because I kept choosing to go back to the source, and Jesus thwacked me in the back of the head when I needed an attitude adjustment and provided. And y'all, that's what he wants to do in the dark nights and in the terrified and in the mundane. That's what he wants to do for everybody. In John 15, Jesus said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be good little Christians. I have told you these things so you'll have the key to success. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy, Jesus says. Yes, your joy will overflow. When I focus on what's not fair or what's missing or what's wrong, my life is fueled by doubt and anger and resentment. I'm going to not only hold up the mirror. When you focus on what's not fair and what's missing and what's lost and what's wrong, your lives will be fueled by anger and fear and bitterness and resentment. But when we focus on our Savior, when we focus on Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Messiah, when we focus on Yahweh, then all those things we have to deal with, all those obstacles, we will deal with them well. We will overcome obstacles. We will help to right wrongs because we are fueled by hope and peace and joy that is not defined by our circumstance, but is our living Savior. When the people in the first century encountered Jesus, they encountered the way, the truth, and the life. The religious leaders of the day, they chose their own way. The political leader of the day, he chose his own power. Mary, she chose to treasure even as she wrestled. The shepherds, they chose to seek, to see, to worship, and to tell. Church, experiencing the joy of a Savior requires our response. What about you? Are you the shepherd? Are you the outcast? Are you on the fringe of society, not sure what's next? Frustrated with an occupying force, whoever or whatever that might be? Maybe you've been living outside the body of a church for a long time and you've been out on the hill even though you're holding on to your faith. And Jesus said, come into the family because you weren't meant to do this alone. Maybe you've encountered Christ but fear has kept you on the hill instead of going down into the valley and experiencing joy. And maybe you've been living in religion instead of relationship. And what you really need is to come with the heart of a child and say, Jesus, yes. Jesus, yes. As Pastor Jessica comes up to pray, I just want to remind you that you're not in it alone. We celebrate with you. We weep with you, with each other. Let me just say, with each other. We hold each other up, not in our strength, but in Jesus.
Okay, there we go. Whether you're in a season of joy and celebration, where the awe and the wonder of the season and the lights and the decorations and the kids and the presents is where you are, or where you're in the space that things are hard, you don't walk alone. Romans 12 reminds us that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn, and that is a family. That's what family does. That's what Jesus does for us. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given us the model, the perfect model of how to walk in joy. No matter where we find ourselves, no matter what we are experiencing, Lord, that we get to lock arms with each other and lock arms with you in joy. The hope of the season, the peace that only you can bring, and the joy to celebrate that you descended to earth to raise us up to life. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in us and through us. And we bless your name this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah. Would you all rise and worship with us?
Yeah.